As you heard at the top of the show, the National Immunisation Advisory Committee has issued new advice against the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine in those under 60, meaning the jab can now only be administered for those between the age of 60 and 70. However, the vaccination of cohort 4 is already underway, and many under 60s in this bracket will already have received their first dose of the AstraZeneca jab. The question, of course, remains what happens to these individuals going forward. John Wall, terminally ill prostate cancer patient Quinn, joins me on the line. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
Good to talk to you. This is, you know, AstraZeneca has been a thorn in the side of many governments over the past number of months. A lot of confusion. I wonder, are you happy that it is a case that, you know, the NIAC are just erring on the side of caution, or just being extra cautious? And are you happy that everybody else is saying that they would be happy to take the vaccine?
Yeah, I think it's important, first of all, to instill confidence, not only in the vaccination program, but the vaccines themselves. But I think yesterday evening's announcement, and certainly the leak prior to the official announcement from NIAC, didn't help, because the narrative surrounded those under 60, such as myself in cohort 4, and that in future under 60 would not be receiving the vaccine. So it left us in a bit of a vacuum as to what was going to happen. And even as I trawled through, not necessarily social media, but reputable sources online last night, there wasn't, a full and frank explanation or something that would be readily and easily understandable for people like myself, that it is safe for those of us that have received our first AstraZeneca dose to subsequently now receive our second within a 12-week period. And that message wasn't put out there into the ether last night. There was a lot of vaccine hesitancy. You could see it and you could hear it in the way the people were talking. And that needs to be managed. It's hugely important that, Dr. Finn, you know, she mentioned Laura's name in the first interview there. And it's so important that people that need to avail of the vaccine are also confident with the vaccine. So the communications from NIAC, from the Department of Health, from the HSE and the Minister needs to be far more effective, and the leaks need to stop, because it fuels misinformation and it fuels hesitancy amongst a cohort of people that should really be, that the system should be instilling confidence in them, not the other way around.
And that's probably as bad as the fear of catching COVID or not being able to get a vaccine. The uncertainty, the leaks, and the confusion, of course, not helping the situation at all.
Absolutely, Pat. I mean, there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes when it comes to the vaccination process. We know that. It's something that's been developed in a miraculously short period of time. And yes, there are going to be issues, and there will be more, no doubt, as time progresses, but it's down to the powers that be to manage our expectations, to realistically manage them in terms of the information that we have about the vaccine, and the fact that it's safe, the fact that if you've had your first dose of AstraZeneca, it is safe to get your second dose within 12 weeks. But many people are now beginning to question that process, and that needs to be dealt with as soon as possible. It's hugely important that the vaccination process over the next couple of months, notwithstanding the supply issues, that whatever we have is administered to the people that need it, and that people don't begin to, I suppose, to turn around and ask themselves whether they're even going to get it now or not. That conversation needs to be stopped as soon as humanly possible, because it will do damage long term if it's not. And there's people there paid a lot of money in government circles to manage the social media and to manage the communication side of things, and it needs to be done. But most of all, I think the leaks need to be stopped, because it just adds fuel to the fire that's not necessary. There's enough going on. I've said it all along, we need to work together on this, and that doesn't appear to be happening from time to time. It seems to be drip feeding into the public domain prior to an official announcement, and that's a dangerous thing to do with a vaccine.
You'd be sensible enough, John, you'd be able to read all of this and understand it more than some people. Some people, you know, are just, they're just worriers. Do you think all of this is undermining confidence, and is your confidence in the vaccine rollout generally still high?
My confidence is high, but it is beginning to undermine. It took me a few hours yesterday evening to process the information and to try and find out exactly where I stood in relation to my second dose. Now, I know where to go looking for the information as well. And that's fine for someone like myself. But there's a lot of people out there that rely solely on the information provided by the news bulletins or so forth. And the stories that we're reading at the moment, not just about the vaccine, but about the vaccine process as well and its queue jumping, etc., That's only all adding, as I said, fuel to the fire, which is undermining the process. And we need to, at this point in time, we're reaching a critical stage of the vaccination process, where if we're to reach herd immunity, well, then we need a large cohort of the population. They need to be confident in the not just the vaccine, but the vaccine rollout itself. And that needs to be very carefully managed. We get one chance at this, and this is it.